I have a question on this fellowship of the Word with God. And it's really in what is the significance of verse 2? Because in verse 1 we have the second phrase there, or middle of the portion of the verse, and the Word was with God. Then verse 2 says the same was in the beginning with God. So it almost seems repetitive. I'm just wondering what the significance of verse 2. Darby says he was in the beginning with God. But what is the significance there of repeating that the Word, the same, he was in the beginning with God?
I think Brother Simon had that lecture tonight. Not so, Brother Simon?
I don't mind if you answer now, though.
No. I'll wait until you.
I'll try and cover it tonight, brother.
Yeah.
We see a condition that existed in the world before before Christ was revealed in the form of a man, and that was darkness. And in John 12, verse 44, says, "But Jesus cried and said, He that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me, and he that beholds me beholds him that sent me. I am come into the world as light, that everyone that believes on me may not abide in darkness. And if anyone hear my words and do not keep them, I judge him not, for I am not come that I might judge the world, but that I might save the world." And it's just interesting to see the contrast, and that's the way that the Holy Spirit can reveal these things to us, is by showing us the contrast of, we've heard about the absoluteness of who Christ was, and to see that in contrast to what the world was, is just another way that we can see these things. And yet it's amazing that we're presented in John 1 with these absolutes, the completeness and the unlimited power that that Christ had, and yet he came in meekness and in humility and in grace. And so these things are still confounding to us, and yet how wonderful it is that these things have been revealed through the Spirit to those who believe.
You know, as we read the scriptures, let us look at what scripture says. It said that the Son came to reveal the Father. I came from God, and he went back to God. But he went back, taking back something that was never there. Humanity is in heaven. He came out a spirit. He was a spirit. Deity and humanity now was seen in Bethlehem's manger. But now he has gone back to heaven. He hasn't left the man here. The man, Christ Jesus, is God himself. So he has gone back to heaven, and man is on the throne of God. But then God has not left this to prophets and to preachers. He has left the revelation of the Son to the Spirit of God. He shall testify of me. He shall take the things of mine and reveal them unto you. Is the Spirit of God now a divine person again, who came 2,000 years ago and is still here? He never left. And his job, if I say that reverently, or his ministry, to make much of the Son. Divine persons are not jealous and envious. He that honoreth me, honoreth the Father. And he that honoreth the Father, honoreth the Son. There is some circles that says, oh, before the bread is broken, you address the Son. And after the bread is broken, you go to the Father. What do you think? Divine persons say, oh, what kind of order is this? If you talk about the Father, the Son rejoices. If you talk about the Son, the Father rejoices. Because it's divine persons. They don't think like human beings. So the fact is that the revelation of the Son has not been entrusted to the hands of men. It has been entrusted to the Spirit of God. And it's His job, His ministry, to make much of Him. That's why the Spirit of God, as the Lord Jesus took, if I should say it reverently again, the low place when He was here, and exalt the Father, the Spirit of God is doing the same now as the Lord Jesus did when He was here.
And only divine persons are competent.
Quite right.
Manifesting the veil, the truth concerning divine persons.
Mm-hmm.
There's one verse that connects with Brother Brian and Brother Sam's comments that he just made. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17. We'll start from verse 15. Matthew 16, verse 15. Lord Jesus speaking, He saith unto them, Who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. Flesh and blood cannot reveal such things, but the Father can.
Christian, we may ask ourselves, what do we do with such a revelation, and how do we guard such wonderful truth? There's so much error in the world today, and as was made mention before, there are persons who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, persons who deny that certainly He had come in the flesh, but God is very jealous in one sense about this side of the truth. We have heard that God is not jealous about the exaltation, whether we speak exalt the Father or the Son, but He is jealous, on the other hand, when persons belittle the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's for us today to really stand upon what we know, what has been revealed to us by faith, what has been shown to us by the Spirit of God, and even seen in the Word concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the verse says, as the Lord Jesus Christ says to Simon Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And He had confessed something very wonderful, very great and solid. And the revelation of this, He would be able to have access even to the keys of the kingdom. And God is able to show us even more things and greater things concerning who the Son is. And is for us to really embrace such and guard against things that are foreign to the Scripture in relation to Him. This is really absolute. Sometimes when I think of absolute things, there's really no shadow of doubt or any gray area. It is really true. This is what it is. Cannot be anything otherwise. And so when we think of the absolute power and the absolute deity and things that were mentioned concerning Him, is for us really to stand and to be firm and to even fight a good fight of faith in relation to this, the others would challenge.